This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Ray Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
Pleased to meet you. Welcome to the show. It's going to be starting in just a couple of minutes. Today we have Ambrian Razia and Dave Benson.
Yes.
Professional. Both actors, by the way, both actors. Welcome to the show. My name's Ray. I'm here with Natalie.
Hello.
Hello, Natalie. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. You warned me before the show started that you're in a good mood.
I am in a good mood.
Why so, please?
I had a very nice night out last night.
I went out to
Crouch End. It's my first time there.
That?
Yes.
Bit of WD-40 on that, mate.
We've got some, actually.
Not when we're on air.
Well, I was just in here for 2 hours before.
Because that'll make people think that someone's getting a text message. That's what that'll make you think. That's actually the mic, that.
Yes.
It's a bit like that bit in Jaws, isn't it?
You love to move a mic, don't you?
Ooh, she's a big one. I move the mic towards my mouth, you see. So,
yeah.
Because I don't stay sort of static still throughout. If I say I move to there.
Yeah, you're coming off
mic
a bit.
I need to move the mic. But to move the mic, it makes that noise, doesn't it?
I'll spray it, don't worry.
But do you not think these things should be done before the show starts?
Well, do you know what? We just had a show recorded in here before this one, and that never happened.
Who recorded the show?
Payne and Sylvester.
Who the hell are they?
Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester.
Which one's Colin?
The other one.
Okay. And what did they do in their show? Spoiler.
What did they talk about? We played a little game of our regular feature, Play to Win, where we do the intros to songs.
I think I will have a regular feature called Play to Win as well.
Okay.
What happens in it?
You have intros of songs.
Yep.
And then you have to guess what they are.
Okay.
So it was St. George's Day, so we did songs relating to Britain. And then
what's it called? Play to Win?
Play to Win. Like last week it was 420 what? Day.
As in Plato?
As in the philosopher, yes.
Why is that? What's the connection there?
Just sounded catchy, didn't it?
It's got to have a relevance.
Play to Win. Play to Win.
No, I'm calling mine Play to Win.
Okay. Like, do you know about 420?
No, I'm calling mine Guess the Intro.
Okay. That is a good title. I didn't know why I didn't think of
and
that.
And what do you win if you get it?
I mean, they don't really win anything. They're very competitive. They win the satisfaction of...
Oh, so they play
other.
Against each other?
Yes, they do.
Oh, I see. And is not one of them running the desk?
No, I do that.
Oh, is it not normal for a presenter to run the desk?
It really depends. Some places, yes.
So
some
I don't
shows,
have
yes.
to be doing this?
I could do that for you.
I'd do that, then.
Okay, if you fancy a rest, I could easily do that.
I do fancy a rest.
Okay.
I mean, I really fancy a rest.
Or like a sleep?
Just general life rest. But anyway, forgive me for interrupting. You were telling me about your night out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I went out to Crouch End. That was my first time there.
You went out to Crouch End?
Yes.
All of it?
Yeah, I did the whole of Crouch.
What did Crouchy. You do there? Who did you go with?
I went out with my friend Amanda.
Okay.
And
why is that funny? Unless her second name is Leg.
No, because she'd just been away to Cyprus for the week on holiday by herself.
Right. Is this going to be something that would only be funny to you and her?
No.
All right, okay.
And so she got back, and she said,
how did you go? Did you go on a plane?
She did a loop-de-loop on a plane, yes.
She could have gone on a boat.
She could have gone on a boat to... yes.
That's what it would have been like.
The creaking.
I'm just relatively calm sea. Yeah. That?
When does it get choppy? Oh, there's the shark coming. So we went out to have some Thai food.
Yeah.
And I should say that she's quite sunburnt. She spent most of the week in her room because she was so sunburned that her face was peeling off. And she said...
her face was peeling off?
Yeah, that she couldn't smile because it hurt her too much to smile. So she just hid in her room for a week. And when we went out to this restaurant, at the end of the meal, when they came, she sent me off with a bill. She said, oh, I just want to say, like, I've been on holiday. That's why my face is red. And the guy in the restaurant said...
Who did you say this to?
To the owner. And he said, oh, we were wondering, because we'd all been asking what's wrong with your face.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's really horrible. So, of course, she was rightly like, what is going on here? I'm not, you know...
Did you not, like, consider just walking out the restaurant?
Yeah, we should have probably thought
that's
that.
That's really
it's
rude.
It's not a very nice thing to say,
you could have been filming Undateables.
That's true.
It could have been that. And he's going, what's up with your face?
And I know. And I would have been the undateable one, wouldn't I? Yeah. You get in there. Yeah, I got in there before.
My skin's been very bad recently. I've got I have a skin condition anyway.
Yeah.
And it's been particularly bad at the moment. I think it's bad because I've got a new fan here. I've got an amazing fan here. It's really, really cool. It lights up. It's got a red ring around the fan.
Yeah.
But you can put it on cold, then it has a blue ring instead.
Okay.
And it's temperature gauged as well. So you put it to what temperature you want and it stops when it gets to that temperature and starts again. All brilliant, but I think it's too good and I think it's completely drying out my face.
Yeah, we'll do that. Did you put it near to your face?
Well, what? Near is relative, isn't it?
Well, if it's blowing straight into your face.
If you mean same house, yes.
No, I mean, obviously, if it's next to the bed, on the bedside table
Not really. It sort of blows into the room rather than onto me. Unless my kidneys are hurting, in which case, I sometimes will throw the duvet off to a bare back and just have it just blowing on my back.
And that helps?
That helps my kidneys, yeah.
Okay. Do you have central heating?
Technically.
Because that dries your skin out as well.
Yeah, I've not used it for a while because I think it's going to blow up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's oil. It's all on oil. So we have to buy oil every few months to fill it, to put in the oil tank.
Yes.
But it smells of oil a lot. And I think the oil is coming out of somewhere.
Oh, no.
And I think if I turn it on, it'll blow up.
Yeah, okay, don't do that then.
That's what I think. My, the person who's in charge of the house doesn't seem that bothered.
Mm. Sometimes landlords don't. I had a landlord once who...
Oh, I meant my missus.
Oh, right. The person who's in charge of the house.
Well, she doesn't seem that bothered.
Okay. Well, I had a landlord once that every time I plugged a hairdryer in, it started sparking. So when I called, I thought there's always something dodgy here with the wiring.
What was a landlord? Was that part of your deal? You rented it? A hairdryer?
Yes. But when I called him and said, well, there's something going on here, he said to me, I swear... Well, that's because you're drying your hair with wet hair. That's what's sparking. I'm like, well, it's a hairdryer, isn't it?
So that's well known.
He tried to get out of it.
That's well known.
That if you have wet hair and you put a hairdryer...
If you dry your hair with wet hair, if you've got wet hair and you're drying it...
It's going to cause sparks.
Don't have water near, lucky mate. So we're in a weird situation today.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, because what's happening now, right? Mm. We're pre-recording this.
Yes.
On
the 25th.
Goodness, is that what day it is?
Yeah, Monday the 25th.
The 25th of April.
1:58.
We're recording it. Yeah, a bit early.
Yeah.
But in 2 minutes' time, as you give that away, in 2 minutes' time, my show's going to start.
Yeah, which we did last week between 6 and 8 p.m. at night.
So we're opting to pre-record again rather than do it live now.
Which is why I just mentioned that to you, yes.
We're putting a pre-record out.
Yeah.
And doing a pre-record at the same time.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
You're here. So, yeah. So we thought maybe we could just, like, dip in and out on the show and see what's happening.
Dip in and out of what?
The show that's on air at the moment that we're recording now.
But we know what's happening.
We don't know. I can't remember.
We were there.
Ago. Can you remember?
We were both there.
I don't want to spoil something, but you get me to do something horrible.
Well, it won't be spoiling it, will it?
Oh, because it'll already happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, this is so weird. This is really weird.
It's not a spoiler, is it?
Is this meta? Would you call it?
It'd be a spoiler if you shout it out the window now.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, to someone that was interested. But it wouldn't be a spoiler to just tell me now, because it's already been out on Fubar. What happened?
I have to
it?
Drink hot sauce, don't I? Do a shot of
you
hot
did.
Sauce.
Yes, you did.
And I did all right with that.
Have you eaten any more of it? Because the gentleman, forgive me, I can't remember his name.
Jamal Peters.
Big J.
Big J, yeah.
Yeah. He gave you some for free.
He did, yeah.
He gave you a load of his hot sauce.
He did give me some of his hot sauce. Very
yeah,
hot.
And you took it home with you.
His very spicy.
Big J's hot sauce.
I've had some hot sauce again. I've had some of Big J's hot sauce.
What did you have it on?
I put it on a jacket potato.
Is that what you call it? Which side, left or right?
I call it, my left side is jacket and my right is potato.
How was it? I've still got mine in the fridge. I've got a couple of things in the fridge.
Some hot sauce. You didn't take the hot sauce though, did you?
No, because we'd opened it. I didn't want to put it in my bag.
Right.
So I was going on the train.
Okay.
Didn't want it to spill. What I didn't want to happen now is to be on a train and start smelling of hot sauce.
No.
I know that you don't mind that sort of thing. Like, for example, you're very oniony today, I've noticed.
I've just told you that I had a salad.
Will, can you smell that from there? Behind that? Yeah, Will can smell behind that glass. He's behind glass and he can smell the
onion. I've had chewing gum.
Chewing gum?
Yeah. No, I just had a
weird
salad.
Choice of chewing gum.
Chickpea and chicken salad, and they were.
Right, so what's that got to do with onions? None of that's got anything to do with
it. Because they put onions in it and they didn't advertise onions.
Right.
Who really wants onions in salad?
Who really wants onions full stop? Is the question. I presume they're raw.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, I don't mind fried onions.
Yes.
I don't mind boiled onions.
Yeah.
I don't mind jacket onions.
Jacket.
You're a jacket onion.
Jacket onion. No, one of my favourites.
Like
no.
A jacket potato. So you don't peel the onion, you just put it in to roast it like that.
And then what do you put in the middle of it?
It's already got stuff in, onion.
Yeah, but so is a potato.
Well, that, yeah, potato.
Do you just add to the filling?
Don't have to add anything to it. You just eat it.
You need more filling.
Well, you just eat it with. Like whatever meal you're having at the time.
Well, I don't want to eat something if it's not A, you're going to fill me.
Nobody at the moment is forcing you to do anything. Okay. All I'm doing is suggesting to you that you have a jacket onion.
But you got to fill it up with something.
It's full up with onion.
Yes, but I mean a jacket potato. Who would have a dry jacket potato?
Loads of people with just some butter on it. Yeah, loads of people.
Okay.
What do you have in your jacket potatoes?
I quite like chilli.
Onion.
No.
Yeah. You definitely do. You definitely like onion because I can smell onion on you.
Yes, oh my god!
It's really weird. Look, the lights have gone out outside because of all the onion smell.
It's your weird.
Now Will's out there now, and he's like got all. He's in the dark now.
His eyes are crying from the onion
because your onion smell has made it too much. The other thing I wanted to ask you as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's on air planning, but what? How often should I play songs?
Whenever you want, I'd say.
Nah, but how often should I? Because I was listening to it. Well, I didn't listen back to it, but I was listening last week when we did it.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't enough songs for me.
Okay, well, I'd say every 10 to 15.
Every 10 to 15 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, so if I set some alarms on my phone.
Okay. I mean, that was like an
intro.
And
then whenever they go off.
Yeah.
That's when we have to play.
I mean, you could play one now if you wanted to, because that was just the intro.
No, it will be in a minute, because
we've got the request still going.
It's going to be. Have we had any texts, tweets?
I've added one.
You've added a tweet?
No, yeah, it was a tweet. Someone tweeted me to ask.
How come they? It's a pre-record.
Because they did it last week.
Hang on.
During the live show.
What's 2 plus 50? 17. You keep talking.
Okay. So if you do want to request a song,
you can't because it's pre-recorded.
No, but you can do, because you can listen to this and think, I'd like to hear that song on a show.
But it's
you can email peacock@foobarradio.com.
I have no access to that email address, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine, but I will get it and I'll add it to the playlist.
No, just in case anyone writes anything personal to it.
Okay. Or you can just, you know, tweet one of us. I'll tweet Foobar, tweet me. Maybe not you. You might say no, but I will look at it and say I'll add it to the playlist. As I have
none
done
of this is very clear now.
With Jonathan Croft, I have added his request to the playlist today. I said yes, because I like the song that he's picked. But even if I didn't like the song, I would still add it.
Who put you in charge of deciding quality there?
I mean, there's a lot on here that are not quality, so I've just put everything on that everybody asked for.
But you can't, you can't miss something off.
No, I haven't.
Because you don't like it.
I haven't done.
You keep putting Mumford and Sons at the top.
Oh, because that is a request, though. Is it on the top today? I thought it was Johnny Cash.
I
thought it was Johnny Cash with Jackson.
Well, we played Johnny Cash last week.
Someone else has requested Jackson, I think.
But that's since we asked. So what's the longest?
That was the Big Papa
what's
Bear,
the longest the one we've got?
Oh, either the Smiths one. If you play,
weirdly,
I know it's over by the Smiths. Or Robin.
It's Mumford and Sons.
No, I think the Smiths is long, isn't it? On the bottom.
But it appears to have already started.
Oh right, okay.
Do you want us to come out of it?
No, keep it. I've not
come
heard,
out of it. If
I've
you
never
want.
Heard this one before. This is for David Coates. Never heard this.
You won't hear it now.
Okay. It's all
starts
right
now.
Are you sure it's Mumford and Sons? Doesn't sound very. Whiny.
Tompkins Square Park, Mumford and Sons.
I like it.
There's 4 minutes 42 Great. Left of it now.
Let's do it.
Do we stop talking?
It's up to you.
I can't remember how you do it. What do you do when you do radio? So do you talk...
Up to the vocals sometimes.
Do you talk at the same time as the music?
No, you talk up to when he's about to sing, which is soon, I think. But not yet, but not
no,
yet.
But the thing, we normally get a countdown.
I know. Oh, he started now.
They call it, is that crashing the vocals?
Yeah, it's totally crashing the vocals, yeah. Sorry, David Coe. No, what?
I feel rude.
Oh,
I've made it disappear.
That doesn't... You can't count that.
It's such a stupid system, that.
Because when... No, it's not. When you play
but
a song...
But you can't stop it without...
You could have stopped it. I could have told you how to stop it without doing that and making
it
disappear.
Get it back for me.
All right, fine.
Bring it back.
Okay.
Because I feel bad that I've crashed the vocal. I wouldn't listen to this.
It wasn't on. Let me have a look. Mumford.
Can you hear that my voice is quite bad today? It's not Mumfordo, is it? That's not the band,
what
that.
Is it called that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Right, so we do it without crashing
Number
the vocal. Excuse me, but look.
I reckon we know.
Let me show you.
Are.
Let me show you.
Should I just put it on
right.
twice? Because you're probably going to happen.
Right.
Again.
What's that red?
That
countdown?
Is the countdown to the vocals.
It's not though, is it?
No. Well, what happens after like, zero?
It's not. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Sing it.
No.
Vocal.
No vocal.
It goes on
so,
for a while.
So what I'm saying is it wasn't my fault. I crashed the vocal.
Well, because we didn't know when the vocal was going to come in.
On the screen, there's a countdown,
yeah.
which is supposedly counting down to where the vocal is.
Yeah.
That's why, like, Tony Blackburn and... Okay, that's a bad example. But that's why these radio people can sort of, like, go right to the vocal.
Like, it's coming, though.
Because they get a countdown to it.
I think it's now.
No.
But it comes in unexpectedly in a minute. Hold on. Here we go.
You crashed the vocal.
I didn't!
You did. Me in talking square park. I wanna hold you in the dark one last time. Just one last time. And oh, babe, can you tell what's on my tongue? Can you guess it? By the way, I'm currently drinking the worst cup of coffee I've ever had in my life.
You bought it, we didn't make it.
Got it from Chillibeers.
Yeah.
Dreadful. Quite rude as well when she served me.
Yeah.
But I did use the toilet,
You're
so...
You're pushing the vocals.
Swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
Vocal crack. No famous river.
It's all very well listening to Mumford and Sons, but let's just see what's happening live now on my show that I pre-recorded last week. Here it is.
What's the show? I was just given an opportunity by Duncan to come on from Fubar.
What did he tell you? Let's see if it's similar to what he told
me. There you go. I'm talking to Will on the radio now, but Will's he's here now. That's weird. Neither of us are talking, but me now talking now.
Trick you, babe. I just tried to work it out. I was swallowed up by doubt. If only things were black and white, 'cause I just wanna hold you tight without holding back my mind.
Creepy, aren't it?
It's an ending.
It's quite a creepy ending, the way it just sort of sneaks out.
But I don't like a fade out. I like a...
I don't think that was a fade out. It was more sort of like... finished.
Tompkins Square Park.
Hmm. Who chose that, please?
David Coates did.
Never choose anything again, David, because what? That was shockingly bad.
That's not as bad. There are way worse Mumford and
Sons. We had it 1.5 times as well. Wait, you can't say that.
Why?
That's not a compliment. That's not... You can't go, there's way worse.
There are.
I dare say, but that was also one of the bad ones.
Okay, so what would you rate that then?
One.
One.
Okay. One for the fact that somebody managed to organise a studio. So one for admin.
So, right, someone that they turned up to record
one for
it.
Admin. They get okay. They get 1 point for admin for being able to actually make the product.
Okay. Sound, and they could play their instruments in tune.
Hmm. Mm.
He had an all right vocal.
No, he's getting no points for vocal,
okay.
I'm afraid.
Guitar sounded nice.
I just think they always sound a bit wussy, Mumford and Sons, whenever I hear anything of them.
Yeah.
I've only ever heard them in the background. I've never sat down and actually listened to them.
Right, okay.
Ever. Nor shall I.
No.
Aren't they all like Johnny Gods?
I don't know if that's true. Is it true?
Well, you Google it for us and find out if Mumford and Sons are all godbrothers, because I think they are.
So you think in some of their lyrics perhaps there's some secret...
I don't think it's even secret.
What if you play them backwards?
I think they're like a Christian band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, who did quite well.
Do you remember when there was that thing about playing music backwards and there was all those supposedly coded messages about Satan?
Yes. What, you think that's in Mumford and Son?
Could be. I've never played it backwards. It was mainly like Ozzy Osbourne and people
like
that.
Do we have a way of playing this backwards?
I don't think so.
There must be a way of playing stuff backwards,
right? I don't know. If there is, I've never done it before. But
we've got a way of playing it quieter.
Yeah, that's true.
Which we should have done.
Yeah.
Have you found anything out, Will?
Oh,
they were called a Christian band, but they told a journalist it pisses them off.
But that doesn't mean they're not, though.
Yeah, that's like sort of a passive-aggressive confirmation.
I don't like to be...
They can be a Christian. I've got no problem with them being a Christian band. Just not really for me, that's all. Will's, like, he's proper, look at that. He's
really researching
researching that. That's better than Adam, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot better than Adam, actually.
Adam would just be there at the moment, sort of like picking his nose and stuff.
Yeah, he just go, don't know.
And looking up what films he wants to watch and sulking.
What's he found?
A quicker way of doing this, just come in and tell us.
Because it sounds
rather than me just going quiet while I listen to what you're saying in the headphones.
How's the show going at the moment, do you think?
There we go. Here's Will. How's this show going?
Yeah.
Oh, dreadful.
No, I meant the other one.
I've done it already.
Oh, you've done it.
I'll be in charge. I'll call the shots.
I thought you said you wanted to rest.
I'll call the shots.
Okay.
Hi, Will.
Hello, Ray.
Here you are. How have you been getting on with your dating, by the way?
Yes, we had a chat on air now, but...
We did have a chat on air now. It might be...
That's
twatting about.
That's warts.
The wart's still there, but on the Wednesday, a girl asked me on a drink, and I accepted.
Asked you on a drink?
asked me to go for a drink, and we're going for a drink tomorrow evening.
Was this on the site, though?
Yes, it was.
On that site. Yeah. I thought you were going to say, after our chat, I decided to come off that site, because I thought it was wrong, and it was balanced the wrong way.
No, I think the morals of the site...
What you're actually doing, you're coming in and saying, after our chat, it worked.
But it would have already have happened because this show will be next week. So why don't you talk to us about how the date went?
Nah, sweetheart, lads talking. So go on. So girls asked you out on a date?
Yeah, so we go. Well, we would have been on the date by this time.
And what happened on that date?
God knows.
Well, this is positive thinking, isn't it? This
we
do positive affirmations. So tell us what happened.
So we went for drinks.
Where did you meet her at?
Shilly Beers. No, we actually started at Shilly Beers because I was working late. Oh, had to come and meet me.
Yeah,
and then we went for drinks.
She had to come and meet you.
She said, "I can come and meet you," and I said, "Oh, that's really nice, but I'll only be quick. I'm just finishing a bit of paperwork off in the office."
Right.
Then we went.
Just been searching Mumford and Sons.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Ray's got me on the Mumford again.
Yeah.
Sounds like a drug.
And then we went Central.
Oh,
Central.
What did you do?
What a central. Into the middle of London. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what they say? We went central.
Where do you want to meet central?
God, you're all such wankers in London, aren't you? So you went into London.
Yeah, went into London.
Just as quick to say
went
that.
Went to...
Now, don't look at Nat, unless Nat's the girl.
Went to Gordon's Wine Bar.
Oh, yeah, by Embankment. Very nice.
Really nice.
It's horrible. Is that the one that's underneath in the cellar?
You need to sit outside,
You can sit outside. It's got a lovely little courtyard.
I think I had a panic attack in there once.
It's very low.
The girl I was seeing took me in there. Yeah. I wasn't even seeing her. We were just sleeping together. But she took me in there one night to meet some of her friends, and they were as objectionable as she was. But it was too claustrophobic and horrible.
Yeah. And it's,
I don't drink.
I've hit my head in there before. It's very it's very low.
This wine bar top trumps. I'm saying I had a panic attack.
I hit my head. What did you do, Will?
I had a great time on my date.
What did you do with her? What sort of thing?
Just chatting.
Were you being flirty?
Yeah, yeah.
What sort of things were you saying and what was she saying?
She was just like, she was like talking to me like she wanted to take things further.
How? What example though? What did she say?
Or let me kiss you.
Or
she sounds mental. What does she look like?
She's blonde. We have actually met before and it's a weird way.
Where have you met?
When I've got a friend, a family friend, and it was her birthday, and we went
Why have you closed your eyes?
Because I'm just trying to remember how we remember.
Do you have to close your eyes to remember?
No, because it's like a long, convoluted story.
Okay.
No, not really.
Try and tell me with your eyes open.
We went to...
King Judy Garland over here. just open your eyes and just tell me.
I get nervous. We went to...
You scared of looking at me?
No. It's just
I mean, that's
quite insulting, actually.
Yeah, that's how I was taking it.
You've taken that how you wanted to take it.
You won't look at me. Oh, sorry, mate. I've got to put a song on.
What's that? Is that your alarm?
I've got to put a song on. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Come back in a minute.
Part two for this.
We'll find out.
Teasing ahead.
But I've got to put a song on now.
Okay.
Right, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Vocal.
You can spin all around. You can go up and down. You can lose what you found.
Rock on FUBAR Radio.
It's another one that just petered out, that song, wasn't it?
I liked that.
It's like they gave up on it.
They went, sometimes you feel like, I don't know how to end this song, I'll stick a fade on.
Yeah. I'll just do like a drum beat.
Yeah.
Sorry, in case you're wondering if there's any like little creatures in the studio at the moment, there's not. It's just that Will's mic is up and he just stopped. What are we doing, mate?
Sorry, I was just out of position. I was just thinking for the guest that came in there.
Oh, right.
I should have done that when the song was on.
But
how tall's the guest?
Oh, no, not a position, just the where the thing is.
Where the thing is.
Yeah.
He has been called.
You can tell
the
that
Weasel.
She's training you.
He has been called Will the Weasel, isn't it? It was on that blog.
That's my nickname from home, yeah.
It's not very nice.
Pete, that's what they call him.
What did they call your weasel?
Just used to pull a face and they said I used to look like a weasel.
Can you do it for me, please? I can see that.
But
it's a weird face to pull.
His friends have all got funny names.
It's like his lips pull back from his teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like your friend Wing, he's got a friend called Wing, a friend called Fry.
Mole. Moisty.
So are you from Wind in the Willows? What is this?
Dodgy.
Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, dodgy. Keep an eye on Dodgy. Anyway, shush everybody, because we're in the middle of an interview with Will.
Oh, also, we didn't say that was for Jonathan Croft.
Electric
synthesizer.
I didn't like it.
I liked it.
Out of 10?
I'm going to give that a 7.
I'm going to give it a 1 for booking the studio and turning up and then putting it out. Okay, well, so you're down in your underground wine bar cellar thing.
Yes, I think I was explaining how I knew the girl and then I closed my eyes, wasn't I?
Oh, forgive me. Go on.
We went on my family friend's 15th birthday to see One Night Only, which are an indie band, at Wrexham Central Train Station.
Yeah.
And we met there.
You're saying this as if they're going to be playing there next week. You're going, and by the way, they're back next week.
At the train
same
station.
Same place.
Oh, really? They're a really good band, actually.
One Night Only?
Yeah. Can't be back, can they? Can't be back.
See
that then? Adam just came in.
He's got jealous.
Adam just crept in and just tried, he scratched at the door a little
but
bit.
We wouldn't let him in. He got
like
jealous.
Like a little pet. Look, what's the matter? Adam, are you annoyed because Will's in the studio? You want to talk to Will? Oh, you can't, mate, unfortunately. He's doing your job. He's doing your old job, mate. He's doing it really well, actually. He did some research, which he got immediately, about Mumford & Sons. And as far as I'm aware, have you ever sucked a cock? Will, have you ever
That's
sucked a cock?
That's not no, is it?
No, I haven't.
No, he's never sucked a cock. And what I mean is at work. So he's being more professional than you, isn't he?
Adam has not sucked a cock at work. I can verify that.
He spoke to one though, hasn't he?
He spoke to a cock.
So go on.
What?
Don't do your eyebrows as if you mean me. I mean you.
I'm not a cock.
I'm not a cock. Well, sorry, carry on. One night only, we're there.
Yeah, so we
How
were,
long were they there
but
for?
But this was 10 years ago, and then we found each other on Bumble.
On the
dating app Bumble.
Bumble, okay.
You remember?
Yeah.
And,
I don't remember you saying what it was called.
Bumble. And then we're going on a date. Well, we'd have been on the date on Tuesday to Gordon's Wine Bar, which was very successful in the courtyard, and it was lovely sunshine. And
did you have sex?
No, because I wouldn't do that on the first date.
You wouldn't?
No.
Why?
Just I'm trying to move away from that. Natalie's trying to get me out of that habit.
Okay, and this lady, what's her name? You can make one up if you want.
Am I?
I'll tell you what, if you want to get out of that habit, go on a date with Nat.
Oh, so predictable.
Get out of that habit straight away.
I have sex on first dates all the time.
Natalie! Don't lower yourself to that.
Oh, so what does that mean?
Oh, God, I can't say
So a girl would be lowering herself by having sex on her first date?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
No,
that's what you just said.
No.
Nat said, I have sex on a first date, and you said, don't lower yourself to that.
Yes, Will, why is it
Mr.
okay
Voice
for
of Authority,
for you
were saying that you're trying to break your habit of doing that, but when Nat says she does it, it's like, oh, you'd slap her.
No, I don't, actually.
That's what you're saying.
I'm trying to stop it because... No, I'm not trying to stop it. I just think...
I suppose if you've got court cases hanging already, you don't want to add to the grief, do you?
No.
You want to stop it for what?
Just because, I don't know, you get to know them, but it's not just about the sex. Yeah. Sometimes you go on a first date and you're thinking, right, it's the sex.
That was quite aggressive what you just did. He just did that thing that Robin used to do in Batman where he just punched
That's why he's got a court case.
He punched his own open hand.
You can't
say,
do
right,
that.
Right, I'm going to have sex. Why are you doing it like that so aggressive?
Sorry.
Is that what you say, come back to mine?
No,
yeah. Sex.
I don't.
Do you say, do you want sex and then do that? So they're like, what? Is he like.
No.
Is he threatening me?
I don't
me?
Do any of those things.
Okay.
I'm a gentleman.
So, but where I'm going to disagree with you, though, nice curtsy, where I'm going to disagree with you, though, is that you can just, like, have a date and then have sex. It doesn't. You can still then go on and get to know each other, can't you?
Yeah, no, of course, yeah.
I don't mean just have sex and then boot them out and that's the end.
No. But we might have sex, we might not have sex.
What do you reckon? Do you think you will have sex?
Probably. Tuesday.
What do you think? Yeah, Tuesday. Good point.
It's Tuesday. Oh, we're off on Wednesday.
It will be a Tuesday shack.
Well, we haven't got any shows Wednesday.
We haven't got any shows Wednesday.
She could stay around.
She could.
Oh, you'll let her. That's good. It's good of you.
Yeah.
I know. That's. I see what Nat's saying there.
What do you mean?
None of this is taking her into account, is it? None of it's taking into account what she would like.
I could go to hers.
Does she have a choice in that?
No.
Is she allowed to say? Is she? Maybe she won't want to.
We could end up anywhere.
No means no, by the way.
I know.
If she doesn't want to, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
If she doesn't want to, that's fine.
100%.
Yeah.
But you're also saying if she does want to, you're saying no because
you
don't want her to either lower herself to that or you don't want to do that anymore.
I'm just saying. No, I'm
Do you need a wee?
No.
All right, you just dancing about a little bit.
I'm just saying, it could happen, it might not happen. We could go to hers, we could go to mine, we could just end the night with a kiss, we could end it, it could be a terrible date.
Yeah.
She could hate me.
She could do.
Oh, you lanky freak, what are you doing here? Like, it could
don't
that.
Say that to her.
She won't like that.
Because then she will hate you, then.
Will you do kissing, do you think, on the first date? That's okay for you, is it? Or
yeah, I don't see really
with tongues?
Kiss.
Tongue kissing.
No, not with tongues.
He's got a big tongue,
not
actually.
Not tongues.
Well, it depends if you went. What are we talking? Just at the end of the
show
day.
Show me with Nat now. Show me. Mm. You're not going to kiss, but no. You're not going to kiss. But just show me how you would approach the kiss. So this. No, I don't need to do the kiss.
I've just eaten an onion.
I know that's fine. Don't tell him that yet. He'll know that.
I can smell it from here.
Right. So show me. So Nat is. What's the girl's name? You can do a pseudonym. It's fine.
Barbara.
Yeah.
No, we're not Barbara. I presume her name's not Barbara in real life.
No.
Right, we'll give it a realistic name.
Although I did go on a date the other week with a Mabel, and they were taking the piss out of me in the office.
Mabel's a lovely name.
I thought that.
I've got a friend called Mabel. It's a really nice name. Okay, so what's her name?
Harriet. Harriet's her name.
Harriet. Okay. Oh. Nat,
we know a Harriet, isn't it?
Okay,
Harriet?
We can't be that then.
No, it's not Harriet.
I mean, fucking hell, this is. We're not even.
Sean, the name's Sean.
Sean. Nat, you're Sean.
I am.
Sean.
Sean.
You're Sean, okay? You've had a lovely night. This is what you're about to go and get your tube back to
Bounsbury. Where number one Bounsbury.
No, not you.
Oh, right, sorry.
This isn't you.
Oh, Sean. Where does
you're
Sean live?
Sean.
She's in Chiswick, I think, isn't she?
Chiswick.
Right, yeah, she's about to get her tube back to Chiswick.
Yeah.
Okay, Will.
Yeah.
You already know it's not on, as in you're not going back to either one's house.
Oh, okay.
Because she said I've got work in the morning. I'm going to have to go.
Okay.
So Nat say that. As Sean.
I can't have a late one tonight. I've got to go to work in the morning.
Could you give her an accent?
Like what?
I don't know.
I can't really do. Give me. Can you? What's your
just
accent?
Just try an accent.
It's my. Do you mean what's my accent?
You're like
sort of farmer, isn't it?
Oh. No, I can't do. I could do like a Cockney one.
I think she's Indian, actually.
No, she's not Indian.
I think she's Chinese.
She's not. She's Chinese origin, but she's actually from the East End of London.
Okay, so there'll be a hint of it in there.
So like.
With a Cockney accent. Oh.
I'm going to go Chiswick. I'm channeling Sean, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, well, I can't, like, have a kiss tonight because I'm going to go to work tomorrow. You get me?
Wait, no, wait. Yeah. I mean, loads of that was wrong. No, you're having a kiss because that's what the point of this is.
Right,
you can't go back to his
house. Will, cut over and kiss me, yeah?
Sorry, who are you going on a date with? Have you?
So that's the only
thing. Did you meet her on a school bus? What?
I'm, like, talking. You know, like, we make me do on other shows. That pains myself. I'm talking a road, aren't I?
Can't we just say she's got a normal accent?
Yeah, yeah.
But then Nat can't play her.
She can.
Hey.
All right.
Hey, Will.
Yeah,
that's it. Unposh it a bit. Okay. Take a bit of posh out.
All right, Will.
Hello.
Hi. Do you fancy coming over here?
Oh, God.
That's weird, man.
This is good.
It's creeping me out.
Will, stop. What, are you going to say
that
to her?
Don't say that to her.
No, but she
wants
to say that.
Me
do
out.
You want to come over here?
I thought that was really sexy.
Did you?
Yeah, that worked.
Well, okay.
If you sort of shut your eyes and forget it's Nat, that works.
I think it's subjective.
All right. Nat, it's working. Carry on.
I think you've got really nice lips, and I would like for you to put your lips on mine now.
Oh my goodness.
It's scaring me, man.
I think it's really good. Right, so maybe Mike's closer. She's giving you the good come on there.
Yeah.
Right, well, just show me what you would do. Well, I'm going to get a picture of you nearly there.
Like,
but don't go through with it. Unless you both...
Definitely not.
Unless when
why
you,
are you saying I'm no, definitely not going through
with it? Unless when you
it.
Get there you feel like doing it. That's fine. I've no problem with it then.
Will,
but
where's Adam?
I'm Sean.
What, do you
and
reckon,
I've
would
really
you rather kiss Adam, Will?
No.
Oh, well, that's really
right.
Saying
okay,
something.
Okay, Nat. I never thought I'd say this. You're doing better than anyone else in the room.
Thank you.
Right,
I've been thinking about this all night and I just really want to kiss you.
That's it. Share a mic.
I just want to kiss you. I've been thinking about this.
You can stop talking.
This is... You can't...
I mean, right. This is like, go I'm on. Putting out all the stuff. I'm doing some good work here. I'm doing some good work. Don't put that tongue away.
Go on. Now both move in for the kiss. I want you like maybe an inch away from each other for the photo. Right. Oh. Hey, try it. Yeah, I know it's very, very oniony.
Oh, sorry.
Try on bad, your date, I'm mate. Try not to snort in her face. Okay. Here we go.
Why are your eyes closed?
Nat, just do it. Is that how you do it? Yeah. Totally. Closer. You fight. You, honestly,
I can smell her.
You're miles
nice
away from each other. Keep going. Ooh. Come on, closer. You're really close now. Getting really close. Go on. Now, you'd start opening your mouth, wouldn't you, when you got near the kiss?
No.
This is getting
weird. That's what you do.
You start with a closed mouth. You start with a closed mouth.
It's getting perverted. Yeah. What, opening
from
your mouth
kiss.
For a kiss?
No, we're not opening mouth.
You're directing us. I feel like I'm in some sort of corner.
I need a mint.
I'm helping.
I'm putting a mint in.
Did
you take a photo?
Yeah, too, right?
Can we have a look?
You can have a look in time.
Do you want a smint?
Yeah, they're ideal for the radio now.
I feel like it's
not strictly broadcasting, is it? I've got to play a song. Sorry, need to stop it straight away. I've got to play
a
song.
Why don't look so horrified? I'm really offended by that.
You're
Will.
My boss.
Is that not sexy as well?
Yeah.
Mrs. Robinson, are you trying to seduce me?
You need to stay late after work.
Is that not working for you? That'd work for me.
Yeah, I'm going to punish you.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
Mama said, Mama said.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my Mama said.
Mama said, Mama said.
I went walking the other day and everything was going fine. I met a little boy named Billy Joe and then almost lost my mind. Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said.
Mama said, Mama said.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said. My eyes were wide open, but all that I can see is the chapel bells are tolling for everyone about me. But I don't worry, 'cause Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said.
Mama said, Mama said.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said. And then she said, someone will look at me like I'm looking at you one day. Then I might find I don't want you anyway, so I don't worry, 'cause Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said. There'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said.
Mama said, Mama said, hey,
don't
hey.
You worry.
Mama said, Mama said, hey,
don't
hey.
You worry now.
Mama said, Mama said, hey, hey.
Mama said,
there'll
Mama be
said,
days like this,
hey,
there'll
hey.
Be days
Mama
like this,
said,
Mama,
Mama
said,
hey,
Mama said, the Shirelles.
Excellent.
Yeah, I like that.
Rick Toomer, brilliant choice.
Good work, Toomer. I'm going to give that a 10.
I'm giving it a 10 as well. Love
straight
it.
In. Also, I'm going to give myself a 10 for choosing that song to go after the kissing.
I mean, I
thought it was good.
But kiss wasn't.
I thought you were unfairly treated then, Nat.
Yeah.
And it is rare I'll say that, but I thought you were doing it just right. You were
Thank
playing
you.
That just right. And he was guffawing. Didn't even tell us about fucking Mumford and Sons at any point.
No, didn't. That's
which is all he was actually here for. But he's too busy going, oh, let me tell you about my date that I'm going to go on. We're not interested in your date, mate.
You can't like do that to
what
women.
What we asked about
was Mumford. Are
what's
they
the deal with Mumford and Sons?
We
that's
still
what
don't
we asked
know.
Him for. We still don't know. Because it's pointless.
So
tweet us. We can't read it. We're in the past.
I had to do role play.
You did. I thought you did very,
Thank
very
you.
Well. Right, I've got to interview someone in a minute.
We've got Ambreen Ross here on the phone.
Right. Can you give me some questions?
Some questions?
Yeah, just
is she not?
I'll do it properly as an interview.
She's there now, isn't she?
Well, she's not listening.
Oh, okay.
Well, she's not on, so.
Well, she's in a play called, which she has written and
what shall I say?
In.
Just tell me what I should say.
Let's hold that for a minute, because apparently she's going straight to answer phone.
She's going straight to
romantic. So we'll ask her about that, why she's going straight
to romantic. Well, let's leave all these questions on her answer phone then.
Okay. Oh, yeah, why don't we do that? We could just call her.
You do know, Nat, that this still would count as a guest blowing us out. If we can't get in touch with her...
Right.
That would still count.
Yeah, I do know that
counts.
So
the last 2 weeks we've done this show, you've had a guest cancel at the last minute.
Yes.
That's happened 2 weeks running now.
Yeah.
To the point where I said to you, I'm not even going to read the press releases.
Which you haven't done.
I'm not going to bother.
So that's fine.
Because there's no point, because they might not be there.
No.
Now, we've got a guest now going to answer machine. This is Barry Dodds all over again. So she clearly doesn't know what I'll happen now because of this.
I'm going to find the email and forward it
to Will. Stop eating when we're on the radio.
Sorry. I think it's better for everyone that I've got fresher breath there.
Give me some questions.
Okay, Anne Bream.
Yep.
Are you from Hounslow?
Are you from Hounslow?
Yeah. Because she's the diary of a Hounslow girl. I'd like to know whereabouts she's from. What was Hounslow like? I've never been there.
Next question.
You're going on tour.
That's more of a statement, isn't it?
That's the initial in.
Right.
What are some of your favourite places that you're going on tour? She's going to Margate, so I'd like to know what, like Bracknell, for instance.
You're
what's
going
that
on
like?
Tour. What are some of your favourite places?
Mm.
Right.
Who am I for? Oh God, damn it. Okay.
What?
No, I'm just looking on this press release because I'm thinking that we should probably call the old PR and be like, right.
Does he give up trying to contact her now?
No,
he's just sat.
I don't think he has. Oh, there's Rosie, the PR. I'm going to forward this to you now, Will.
Pratt's on your piano. Okay, so now live on air, we're trying to. Basically, I'll get.
Don't shout.
I'm not shouting at you. I'll get told off for this show. But going like, oh, you weren't presenting it. It was just a chat.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all that.
We
sort of
do
thing.
Do that. We just pull up the fader and we go, all right.
But
all right,
I like that.
But then the people will be going, well, who's that? Who is this person?
But I'm inclined towards that now. I quite enjoy doing that.
Okay.
Of not doing it like a show, just doing it like you're dropping into a chat.
Then we should probably at least do a surname so people will be like, hey, I'm Breen. And then,
well, no, I mean, this is pointless though, isn't it? Because she's unavailable.
Yeah.
So what we're doing now is admin on air.
What? Yeah, that's true, actually. She's
and it's happening in a day. What are you doing?
I'm forwarding the press release to Will with the name of the PR person so that he can contact the PR person.
Well, just tell me what's the name of the PR person?
It's Rosie.
Rosie what?
Rosie Bauer.
Rosie Bauer, Will. He said he's got her email.
Oh, you got it. Right, okay.
So he's going to contact her now. Why are you being secretive about it? Do you on emails?
I don't know, actually. Because I didn't just want to shout out numbers and stuff over the air.
That's fine, shout it out. It's the PR company.
Actually,
it'd be a public number, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you can just Google.
It won't be a secret.
Maybe it's industries.
What's Anne Breen's number? What's her actual number? I'll call her.
Yeah, we've got her number. Should we call her through the desk?
Just call her direct?
Yeah, I've got her number on here.
Okay, let's do that then.
Okay, I'm not going to shout her number out, though.
Go on, round you go.
Well, let's see if it's
this is actually a radio show. You've listened to a radio show. We've not just left the mics up. This is actually what we're presenting to you. But you're not paying for it, are you? For you.
Oh. Hi, you've reached Anne Breen's mobile. Sorry, I can't.
No good to me, that.
No.
No good to me, that at all. So, what do we do? Counter promotion? Do we tell people not to go and see it?
I think it looks like a good play, The Diary of a Hounslow Girl.
Well, if she turns up.
She's written it. She stars in it. You'd hope.
If she turns up on the night.
Starts from the
4th of
May.
But at the moment, she's made a professional engagement that she hasn't turned up for. So from that, you can extrapolate that. Oh, back on the boat.
Oh.
From that, you can sort of decide that if you go to the theatre on the night, she might not be there.
Well, she's supposed to be going on tour from the 4th of May to the 18th of June.
Well, you say that, but she might just phone it in.
True.
If she learns how to use a phone. Or she might just leave an answer machine message.
Very true. Oh.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. Adam comes through to gloat. It's not his fault. This isn't his fault, Adam, before you start having a go at Will.
Yeah.
It's not his fault he can't locate the guest.
He's so looking very smug, isn't he?
Yeah. He's like, oh, this wouldn't happen when I was here. You forget it happened all the fucking time when you were here, mate. Constantly happened.
Yeah.
So what do we do then? Because at the moment, I'm prepared for the interview, so should I just interview you?
Yeah, sure, if you want to.
Okay, now. You're doing a play about a British Muslim teenager that you're playing the British Muslim teenager.
It's an acerbic
facing
comedy.
A conflict of cultures in this coming of age comedy set in the heart of Hounslow.
Yeah.
My first question for you is, are you from Hounslow?
Well, in the acerbic comedy that I have written and starred in, which is told through the sharp, straight-talking voice of an aspirational 16-year-old British Muslim girl.
Yeah. Don't read it from the press release.
I have not been born in Hounslow, but
You've not been born in Hounslow?
Yeah.
What places have you been born in?
Plaistow.
Plaistow?
I was born in Plaistow.
Okay.
Then I got reborn in Bow.
Okay. So it seems odd to me because you're kind of upper middle class, I would say. Stop looking at the press release. You're sort of upper middle class, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're kind of posh.
No.
Which sort of begs the question why you think that you're suitable to play a British Muslim teenager facing a conflict of cultures in the coming of age comedy set in the heart of Hounslow, which sounds to me more like a kind of a working class environment.
Right. Well, the thing about it is I am an actress and I like to go full method.
Yeah.
And I can do a range of things.
Is that why you've come here blacked up?
I haven't. I've just got a bit. I've been on holiday.
That sounds worse.
Okay. I don't know. I've been frolicking.
You are a white lady, though.
I am a white lady, yes.
So why do you think it's all right for you to play a British Muslim teenager, given that there are Muslim actresses?
There are also white Muslims.
Oh, she's got me there. That's true. Is that what you're playing in this, though?
I'm just playing a Muslim.
Given that it's presented by Abby and Razia with the Black Theatre Live.
I have not specified whether or not I'm a black or a white Muslim. I'm merely a Muslim. I think we should look past colour and religions to just see the person.
No, hang on. You can't go, we're going to look past religions to see that I'm a Muslim.
Yes. I'm equally not really, in real life, I'm agnostic.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah.
Really? So you're somebody that doesn't believe in God portraying a Muslim?
I believe in something, a higher
power. Because I think, you know, there's people who would take real umbrage with that, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I am
real
religious.
Umbrage.
I'm religious.
You are now. What's your religion,
That was me
please?
Doing another character.
What's your religion?
The main
if
one.
If you say anything but Muslim, you're fucked.
Oh, I'm a Muslim.
Right, okay. You're going on tour.
I am, yeah.
What are some of your favourite places?
I really enjoy going to Bracknell.
Why?
It's just a nice place.
It
was one of the places I feel like I could be reborn in again.
Bracknell's not nice.
Is it not?
No.
What am I thinking
it's like
of?
By Reading, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, Reading. Reading's quite nice.
Not really.
Oh. It's got a nice shopping centre.
Yes, but it's got nice areas, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you going to one of the nice areas of Bracknell? South Hill Park,
yes.
Isn't it?
South Hill Park.
That's where it is, I'm sure.
Let me just look at my dates in Bracknell. South Hill Park, that is correct. In Ringmead, on the 10th of May, I shall be there.
Yeah, some better days, that place.
I like the Stratford Circus in London. I thought it meant Stratford, as in Pont Aven, which is... I'm not going there, which is annoying, because I'd like to.
Why would you like to?
Because it's nice in Stratford upon Avon, isn't it?
It is. I was there the other day.
Going to Bristol. Never been there before. That's the 3rd and 4th of June, to the tobacco factory.
You say you're going there, but at the moment you've not turned up for your interview, have you?
Yeah. I'm going to somewhere called Hexham and I've got no idea where that is. Okay. Oh, it's in Northumberland.
Why are we promoting the show?
I don't know, because I think it looks like a really good show.
I don't at all. I think it seems very untrustworthy.
Merely because she hasn't answered the phone.
Yeah,
that
is really bad. That's why when it happened with Barry Dodds that time, like, for all the fun we had as a result of it, consequently, but on the day, I was genuinely angry. You know what I mean? I was actually genuinely angry because that's really unprofessional. It's really bad to do that. If you don't want to do the interview, don't do the interview. Fine, no problem at all.
Well,
no issue with that at all. But don't arrange it so that somebody's arranged a show around you and then not put your phone up.
That happens a lot with guests from everywhere, wherever you... They either... And it's the PRs are so apologetic afterwards and say, I'm really sorry, and they get really, you know, pissed off.
Yeah, well, the PRs would be pissed off with the person.
They will be pissed off with the person.
Yeah, and that's understandable. And as they should be.
Because this has been booked for weeks.
Well, then what you should do in future when you book people, under my instruction, and I'm fine to say it's me that said it, is if they blow us out, we will badmouth the product.
Okay.
So essentially, and you can say that, once you get them to agree to the interview.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Billy Jones, who's
Billy
doing
Jones.
A fringe play.
Yeah.
Right, about Hamlet. Right,
he's real?
No, I'm giving you an example.
Okay.
So you're on the phone to the PR for that. It's booked in.
Yeah.
And then you say, so just before you go, just so you know, if Billy Jones doesn't answer his phone on the day,
yes,
we will just slag off the production.
I'm just checking we have the right number, but we do, because it did go to...
Yeah, okay. But you listen to what I'm saying as well?
Yeah,
This is actually more important than people that can't organise
their business. Basically we say, if they don't answer the phone or they don't turn up, then we are allowed to...
We'll badmouth it. We will badmouth them. And listen to this as well, because you've already got them to agree to the interview, because they might go, I'm not doing the interview. They'll say, well, no, because that means that we'll badmouth it for that as well.
Yeah.
Now it's booked in. Anything that happens that stops it happening, unless it's our fault, we will badmouth it.
I mean, I'm just checking I've got all the facts here. Just heard back from Ambreen. He says 2:30 p.m. on Monday the 25th of April will be perfect. So let's go ahead with that.
Not really perfect.
Wasn't that perfect?
Not perfect.
Really?
Well, that guest is pulled.
Okay, so even if she gets back now...
Yeah, absolutely not.
We go...
No, no chance.
That's actually, you're very similar to the hip-hop show, which comes up after you. We've had...
I am very similar. I'm a rapper.
Well, no, but we have a one-strike policy on that show now. I was being too generous. And if someone would have cancelled or, you know, if it's for a bereavement or something or illness, fine. But if they just cancel, don't turn up. I was giving them a second chance and they were just like, it's a one-strike rule here. But you do it once, that's
but,
it.
But here's the thing as well. I agree with that. And here's the thing as well, is even if there has been a bereavement or an illness, it's still... You should still contact the people you're mentioning and say, I can't do that interview.
So she should have contacted Rosie to say, I can't, can you please stand them down?
There are very few circumstances you would be in where you're unable to make a phone call fast and say, I can't make it.
Yeah.
That's true.
That is very true, yeah. And I would feel really bad, even if, I would just feel bad personally and I think, well, I really need to let somebody know. You know, you can assume that the agent or PR has told her, if she's cool with it, that she's doing it. I would feel dreadful. I'd be feeling really guilty.
Well, the excuse is going to be she forgot about it.
She forgot, or yeah, her phone wasn't charged or I don't know. But Will's waving at me.
At the moment.
What's that for, Will?
What's that, Will?
Is she on the phone now?
Forwarded an email from PR to you.
Oh, okay.
Again, this has ruined my show, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And we've got nothing at all now to get us out of this.
Apologies. I've been in touch with Ambreen's producer who's trying to get hold of her now. Is there a number I can pass through to Ambreen for her to call the studio on?
No.
I think you need to say, I'm sorry, you've missed your slot. You've missed your slot now. Someone else is coming on and it's no.
In fact, before you do that, Google nearby theatres to that one. Like, so what would be their sort of competitors and say, sorry, somebody from whatever play.
This is bad to do this.
Is going
to
be on instead. Is what bad?
This kind of like.
Why are we doing it?
Well, because now what the time is, it's, well, 16 minutes later than
that's why we're doing
but
it.
But we were probably a bit late to call her, weren't we? We always late for guests, aren't we here?
So?
She might have been there at 2:30 with her phone on.
I don't believe that for a second. And you don't. Actually, it doesn't matter if you put that out because they've not heard it yet, have they?
Mm.
I was going to say, you've just given them an excuse. What are we going to go with?
Oh, it's fancy.
Here we go, let's go. Is it song time? Song time for a song, and then we'll be back with a guest who, by the way, your next guest doesn't appear to have turned up either.
I'm going
to
start crying in a minute.
Well,
I'm
going to be silent in the time. If they're not here, I'll be silent in the time we will be interviewing them, and you'll have to fill the time.
We need to get someone in that's just an impressionist, and then it's just stand by at all times.
You better learn some. That wasn't fair, was it? How can it count down to that? BMX Bandits. I Want to Fall in Love.
10 from me.
I like that.
You weren't listening to it.
I was. It's called I Want to Fall in Love by BMX Bandits.
It's not called
I
Want to Fall in Love.
I Wanna.
And who chose that?
That was for Daniel Young. Good
Daniel,
choice.
Good choice, man.
I'm giving that a 9.
More of that sort of thing, please.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Do you like a bit of indie, don't you?
I guess so. I don't have anything, I don't have a specific type of music that I like. It's been quite a fuss in the studio where you were listening to that song because they were all sort of like running about, not sure whether or not we should leave that in about us saying it was bad for someone to not turn up for an interview, but it is bad.
Yeah.
I don't know the girl. I don't know anything about her at all. Sure, she's fine. Sure, she's very good at performing, whatever, but...
What if something... You know, we have to say, because in the moment, obviously, if something's... She's had an accident or she's ill or something, then I feel really bad about that.
Right. Why, was it your fault?
No, I didn't do anything.
Okay.
But...
Did we predict she'd die a few weeks ago?
No. On the new feature called Death Ray...
Oh, God. Did we predict that Prince would die?
No, Prince wasn't in there. I don't think... Unless we did a Prince...
You
of,
sound
like,
slightly
country.
Disappointed, then.
Unless we did like a Prince of a country.
I don't think so. Prince Charles maybe. May
have done. But then it could have been someone called Charles or Prince. It could just kind of Who else have we missed out on?
Well, you say missed out. Victoria Wood we didn't predict.
Oh yeah, we didn't predict her. Or no. We'd done David Guest. We hadn't, I mean, you know what I mean, like we hadn't predicted it.
No. We only predicted Ronnie Corbett.
Yeah.
And that's not ridiculous given how old he was.
No. But then we didn't really mention anybody else. You haven't really followed it
but
up.
But also, it wasn't ever a case of saying that they will die. It was sort of tacit that they wouldn't.
Yeah, we were saying we would hope that they wouldn't.
And then they did. I'm going to burp. I'll tell you what, I'll put my mic down so I can burp so they can't hear it.
All right.
Is that all right?
That was a very quiet burp.
I've noticed that the aircon's been on all the way through the show.
No, it wasn't. I've just put it back on again.
Oh, have you? Why? Because of the kissing?
It was really hot.
Still don't know.
Okay, with his tongue out.
About Mumford and Sons, why is Adam creeping about in the other
Adam
room?
Adam keeps lurking around. It's like he wants to come in
why
here.
Why is Adam coming
he's
back?
He's doing a bit of flirting, isn't he, with us?
He's got the right. Bring us the Mumford article then, please.
Also, look at Will's tongue. He's got a very long tongue.
Look at Will's tongue. He's got a long tongue. Why?
He always has his tongue out.
What? Come on, Will. Let's see your tongue.
Stick it out properly.
Yeah, stick your tongue out properly, mate.
No, that's not full length. You can go longer than that.
I don't think he can.
It can get bigger than that.
I'm not sure he can. He's actually trying to do that.
No, he's faking it.
How can you fake putting your tongue out?
I've seen his tongue out before and it's really long.
That's his tongue out.
That's such a lie. Such a lie.
You can't withdraw a bit of your tongue.
Well, I will pull it out of your mouth.
Right, do that then. Get hold of his tongue and pull it out.
I don't actually want to.
No, do it, come on.
I don't want to touch his tongue.
You suggested it.
I know, because I know he's faking it.
Right, come on. Get his tongue out. Pull his tongue out.
I can't. I need a tissue. Can I pull it out with a tissue?
If you want.
Okay, here we go.
What has happened to my life? Hold on. I should get a photo of it, shouldn't I? Hang on. Right, so is any of his tongue coming out that wasn't already out at all?
That's quite a long tongue, though, isn't it?
I think this is like... You've got fluff all over your tongue now. This is some... You can't... Are you his boss?
Yeah.
You can't do that, Nat.
I'm doing it.
Sorry.
You can't do that. Is Julia in today?
Yeah. Do you want to go and get Julia?
Yeah, can we get Julia through, please?
Can we ask...
Yeah, just go and get her. So we need to just ask her something about
I'm
something.
In trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is Julia... Is she HR?
Yeah.
All right. Tell her she'll be safe. Be absolutely fine.
She might not. Yeah. She doesn't like coming on. She doesn't like talking.
No, that's what I'm saying. Tell her she'd be safe.
Okay.
I don't... you can't do that.
Really? You told me to do it. You said
you'd do it.
Yeah, because I knew...
You said you'd do it, and then you said, no, I don't want to do it. And I said, you just said you wanted to do it, and then you did it.
But I did it with a tissue. It wasn't my hand.
It doesn't matter, mate. That's like saying, well, I only fucked him with a condom. It's not.
In a sense, it was a tongue condom.
Yeah, but none of that's all right, is it?
No.
If you're his boss...
He liked it.
I don't think he did. He didn't look really? Like he liked it. Not in the photo that you're going to tweet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He looked like he was in considerable distress.
He's put his tongue out to me loads of times before.
But it's normally longer than
that. Yeah, it is, yeah.
Well, we proved that it wasn't.
He just tried to put his water on my face. He just tried to, like, rub me up with his water hand, didn't he? You saw that when he came in for a hug.
I was doing just fine. I didn't have to come back here. And it's like, and moments like this, I'm like, what the fuck?
You all right?
What's up? She hit you?
No, she couldn't come. She was in the middle of a phone conversation.
Probably
but she did say, I said,
lawyer.
To who?
To Don't know.
Just checking if I'm in trouble.
How can that possibly be more important than a live show?
Which I said Natalie's tried to pull my tongue and she went, oh. So yeah. She's kind of on my side.
Okay, yeah, fine, yeah, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Mumford and Sons.
Yeah.
Right. Christ,
are they religious?
No, they're not religious.
So why is that out that they are then?
Sorry, Natalie. The question was posed to them, are they religious?
Yes.
Have you got your phone on you?
No, let me go and get it.
The guest could be calling.
This is a fucking shambles.
No, because the guest could be calling him.
No, I'm saying this. I'm not having to go at you.
Okay,
I'm saying this. Well, the book ends with you because you're the producer. But have you got any missed calls?
No.
No. Okay. So the next guest isn't going to be there.
I can't deal with this.
Next guest doesn't turn up either. So you've outdone yourself now. That's two. In one, normally it's one a week and two for one
I'm
show.
I literally just had an email this morning going he'd like to come in at 3 o'clock. So
Benson,
is anything happening on the
Benson?
The show? Can we have a little listen to the show from last week? See what's more interesting. You literally can't stay out today, Adam. I've never seen
anyone. Are you going to talk over it?
Sorry, it's just that he keeps coming in. What now? Dave Benson's here. Oh, can you go?
Why does Adam know he's here? But
don't know
the actual probably assistant producer doesn't. Okay.
Sorry, what was happening on the show then?
He said in my ears, then Adam, I'm going to go and get your guest.
Oh.
Like, he's proper out of it.
I
have nothing to do with this anymore.
He's quite moody, isn't he?
He was moody on the phone last week when we phoned you on.
Yeah,
yeah. What's going on with him?
He didn't even have time to mow his lawn, he said last week.
He's having fucking interviews. He's clearly having interviews.
He's been throwing me shade all day as well.
What's that mean?
Just chucking daggers at me.
Has he? Yeah, well, I suppose you are his direct competition, aren't you?
Yeah.
And that you took a job. But no, he clearly, nobody takes time off work to mow their lawn.
A week as well.
He does.
He's gone and had interviews somewhere else.
No.
He definitely has. I will stake my entire fortune on it.
I would.
My significant fortune
of gold.
I'll
do mine that he hasn't done that.
He has.
Because how many times has he taken time off? Like, he just likes to stay at home and do nothing.
Telling you now, he's been for interviews.
Sure. Well, he went for an interview, which he recorded for here. Yeah, so in a sense, you are right.
What interview? Oh, an interview for his show?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's been for an interview somewhere else.
Okay, we'll just ask.
I wouldn't be surprised if he pops up on the newly rejigged Virgin Radio in no time at all.
He'd be dead to us, I can tell
you.
Both speaking on behalf of me and Natalie, he'd be dead for us.
Why is Virgin? What's wrong with Virgin?
Oh, no, nothing.
Nothing wrong with Virgin.
Absolute. What if you went on that?
That's fine if he wants to go on that.
LBC.
He wouldn't like it though.
John Gaunt Station. What if Adam turned up on that?
Talk to me.
Is that still on that station?
I think so, yeah.
Right, so what if Adam, what would you do? Let's
look at dagger to the heart.
Right, so genuine questions. These are genuine questions.
Yeah.
What would your reaction be if Adam left here and did end up doing, and you saw then on Twitter he was doing a show on John Gaunt's radio station, that one, the hospital radio thing he does?
I mean, I'd block him, wouldn't I?
You'd block him?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that to Adam. I'd say...
How would you feel?
I would feel surprised.
Yeah. Would you not shout at him?
I wouldn't shout at him. No, I don't like to shout at people.
What would you have done if when I left FUBAR last time, if like the next week, Gaunt was tweeting that I'm on his station? what would you have done at that point?
I would genuinely have pissed myself laughing. That would have been hilarious.
Why?
Because it just would have been really funny. Just would have... What kind of show would you... If you were doing like a newsy type show station.
If I was on this station, what sort of show would it be?
Yeah.
A murder one.
A murder show?
Yeah.
So you'd be looking at murders throughout the year.
Just anybody who was nearby.
So you'd be killing people or just talking about
murder?
Ideally,
yes. I'd certainly punch them in the fat fucking face.
Okay.
Why don't we try and get him on next week?
Oh, gone?
Yeah.
He wouldn't come on there.
I never met him, did I?
He wouldn't come on there, mate. He's scared.
Is he?
No, he's scared.
He's
have you got the chicken?
He's not
Where's
scared.
That chicken noise that he used to use?
He's got his own station now. Leave him to it. Anyway, Adam's
not leave him to it.
Why?
Let's have a fight again.
I don't. This
it
is
was
very
such
boring.
A laugh.
It's got really boring. That thing
got boring for
Look
you.
At you staring up with your spoon.
I don't know what happened. I don't
the
know
reason
happened.
It got boring is because Nat was going, no, don't talk about it. And it's like, no, do talk about it.
But like nobody, people that now are here at the station, it's new people, will not even be aware
here's what
of
the
him.
Is. Here's what the problem
or
is, right?
him ever being
Here's what
here.
The problem is. One of the producers may have slept with him, all right? That's what the problem is.
No.
Okay, what?
You can't say that.
I can say that. I very, very carefully covered myself legally. I said one of the producers may have slept with him.
Don't say that.
No, wait, that's what I said. One of the producers may have slept with him. Look, and Will just pointed at you. Is it you? I'm not saying who it is. I know who it like fictionally would have been.
In a fictional universe that could have happened, but in a factual one that did not happen.
Right. I'm saying one of the producers may have slept with John Gaunt.
In fictional.
No, may covers it.
I don't know if it does.
One of the producers
doesn't cover it.
may have slept with Jungle.
It doesn't. Okay? Like, allegedly doesn't
and
cover
that,
you
and
either.
And that may have put her off sex.
I wouldn't imagine.
To the point where she now...
just eats onions at lunch.
I never said that. I never said that at all. Was that me? Did I say that?
Well, it could be various people. It could be Julia. It could be Laura. It could be me. It could be...
well, could be me as well.
Could be you.
Who spoke about onions last? Eating onions last?
Will did.
Oh, God. Was it me?
I don't know. It could have been you, mate.
I wasn't.
You wouldn't have known. Tell us about Mumford & Sons. So... they are.
Mumford & Sons said, it's funny, bands from Coldplay to Kings of Leon, everyone uses these words and it's not preachy at all. It's not even religious. They're just musing. And then
Muse.
Winston Marshall.
Muse.
Comparing themselves to Muse.
It pisses me off just being thought of as a just being thought of as a Christian. It's pretty annoying. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but just being told you're anything when you're not.
So he's saying that they're not Christian.
My reaction is thank you, but no thank you. And if I'm in a bad mood, fuck off.
Oh.
No, I mean, it comes from a good place, you know, but it's just quite invasive.
Oh.
Marshall added.
That's actually how I imagine he does speak as well. I think he probably did a really good portrayal
of Mumford
from Mumford & Sons. Jimmy Mumford.
I feel bad about the tongue thing now. Can I say, is there anything you want to do to me?
What if he gives that favour to me?
Well, no, because you've
got...
what
if he pays it forward?
No, because...
no, you've got an open favour. Hang on, I've got to put a song on.
Oh, here we go.
I'll go and sort the guests.
Got to put a song on, mate.
Oh, okay. Have a think about that. Ponder what you'd like to do to me during the film.
That alarm, isn't it?
What would you like him to do to you?
I don't mind. It could be painful. I can take some pain.
That was funny.
I wasn't very nice to him,
was
I? He
said something funny and you missed it.
Oh, shit. What did he say? What a killer when I don't get what they do it for. It's also terribly vague. I see the pictures from a thousand years of battle and I think it's such a bore. I walk New Orleans with a knife, like Nike hidden out of sight. But I'd be useless if they jumped. I'm really not the killing type. Picture of your mum before the war when she was young. She's got an etching to her eye. I think it's funny that she's looking to the left and it's a sign. I wouldn't kill to get you back.
I just can't explain how it did.
Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, The Killing Type.
For Engstrom X.
Engstrom X.
Yes.
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
I did. I imagine I would like Amanda Palmer.
If you met her?
No, I mean, if I ever listened to any of her other music.
Right, okay.
I imagine I would like it. But then again, I've been disappointed before.
So what would you give that in ratings?
10.
Would you give that a 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
What are you giving it?
I'm going to give that an 8.
Dave, what would you give it, the bit you heard? Out of 10.
I didn't. Well, it's not my kind of music.
Like, no, you're, you, mate, honestly, you're absolutely allowed to say you hate it.
I hate it.
You hate it.
Well,
okay.
I was indifferent. But it sounded like the music my brother used to listen to when I was a child or a teenager.
And was your brother older or younger?
Older.
Cooler.
He was one of the. He was a punk rocker.
Okay,
in the first wave of all that. Am I?
Yeah, you're on your phone.
Whereas I was in my own little world listening to my own thing.
Okay.
So I heard it in the background and I thought, that's interesting.
Okay, so out of 10.
Sorry, am I shouting?
That's so loud, I can't even.
I thought I was doing it just to Nat's headphones.
Both of us, that's so
sorry,
loud.
Listeners.
Wow.
No, they've not heard that. They didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Only you heard
that
it in your headphones.
Almost deafening. Oh, that's what you keep doing, turning me
off. Yeah,
up. Okay.
I'll tell you.
I used to. That kind of music, I mean, of its kind, it's probably excellent. So I'll give it a 10.
There we go.
Okay, that's 2 times.
What an excellent way of looking at things. That's how you need to be, more like that.
Okay.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things like poor Mr. Prince who died last week.
Yes.
I was never a fan of particularly.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
We wrote one song that I heard 20 years ago and loved. It made me cry.
Which was that?
Sometimes It Snows in April.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in fact, I heard somebody else sing it. I thought, what a beautiful song. And of course, listening to it again with his death and all the lyrics
in April.
Horrible resonance.
Yeah.
And he realized this was the passing of a true genius.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone irreplaceable who influenced more people than we can imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't have to have collected all his records to know that that was somebody of immense significance and talent and sensitivity.
That's absolutely true, in that I bought one Prince record in my entire life. No, I bought two. I bought the Sexy Motherfucker album and I bought the Batman album as well. The Batman album, I still maintain, is one of the best albums ever written, even though it's a tie-in soundtrack to a movie. Yeah. Amazing, amazing thing. And a lot of that music wasn't even used in the films.
No.
But Arms of Orion is a song that's in that, which is also equally beautiful. But it's a duet with Sheena Easton.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an equally beautiful song as
right.
well.
Right, it's time now. Unfortunately, now he's left us. Now it's time for me to
look
at Prince.
Yeah.
Far too late. Because I won't be able to say, well, I might meet him. I might be on a job with him.
Yeah.
It won't happen now, will it?
That's right, Dave Benson.
So
that is right.
Oh, is that? I was about to do that.
Sorry.
So you'd have to crowbar it in like that. I can do it a bit more naturally than that. Than you going, that's right, Dave Benson.
I was just trying to.
We would have got to the intros now. But now you've made it awkward.
I haven't.
And the mystery guest has been outed.
Yeah.
Busted.
I was going to drag it out longer than that.
So Dave's here.
Get people guessing. Guessing
Dave.
Who it is. Who is it?
Which Dave is in the studio now?
Dave Benson. Now, here's the thing with you, Dave, is I think we've met before.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was you.
I think we met at the Fringe. I've been very aware of your work. I've not seen any of it, by the way.
No, that's quite a few people have.
Yeah, no, that's not true. That's not true. Though,
no, I'm one of these sort of artists who I'm becoming more obscure as I go through my career.
Really?
I'm having a little bad. That's my joke. But I started with a big splash when I was 34 years old.
Yeah.
20 years ago with
the Kenneth Williams
show. That Kenneth Williams, Think No Evil of Us, and that was that took me from my privacy of my private world to here we are, folks. This is my show that I've written and done all by myself.
Yeah.
Bang, and I was off, and that launched me in my career.
And it's sort of one of them where I think if you're not part of the circle of that of the Edinburgh Fringe and that sort of thing. Is it something that could have passed you by a little bit, but then you might see a poster for it and go, I would love to see that. Mm. And it was a big deal, that play. I remember that play.
Well, it just managed to hit, the zeitgeist.
It was that.
Because nobody had done a show about Kenneth Williams. He had passed in April 1988. He either killed himself or took one way or another, took an overdose.
Do you have a thought on that?
Oh, I think all the diary entries that you can read clearly point to someone who was suicidal.
Yeah,
although
others
disagree, including the man who wrote his biography called, I can't remember the name, the recent very good biography of him. He doesn't feel he did.
Okay.
And one or two others, but many of his friends I know do think that he must have.
I think if you read those diaries, and it's also important to remember that that's not all the diaries in that book.
Indeed, no, we can come back to that if you like.
Okay, well, absolutely. Really. But that's an important thing to remember when you read that. You're not reading someone's entire life story.
No, it's highly edited.
Of course.
I say we can come back to that because, only because the British Library, you may know, have acquired the actual handwritten volumes.
The lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
All those that are available, I believe, and are going through them in what they call data protection. In other words, somebody has to read every word of every volume and make notes and say, right, you can't say that, that's libelous, blah, 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 living people and all that, and then check it all, and then they'll release it to be viewed.
Okay.
Now, I haven't seen them yet, but I'm going to be participating in an event on the 13th of June where I'm going to be reading from the unpublished sections from. Then they'll have people on stage who knew him talking about him. So my part in that will purely be reading, but it's going to be very interesting to read parts that haven't been heard before.
Why don't you apply for the job of proofreader? And then you get to read all of it.
It's actually a highly specialised academic job that you need to be really trained for.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? Check your GCSEs? Just say you have got those things.
Well, there is a real reason that I'm very interested in the contents of the diaries, because I want to see if they mention me, Ray. Because when, I don't know if you know, is this in your notes? But when
I don't read the notes. The reason I don't read the notes is because we almost always have guests cancelled, so I just don't bother reading it.
You don't know that research.
No, I learn on the hoof.
Yeah.
Imagine if I'd have learned all about that last guest who was meant to be here. That would have been a pointless waste of my time. But because Dave's here, now I'm learning from Dave.
Sure.
From the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
Well, when I was 13 in 1975, I wrote a little story for this thing called the Jack Onory Story Writing Competition, which was Jack Onory, younger listeners won't remember, a children's programme where you'd have a famous actor on every week telling a story.
Yeah.
A little 15-minute episode, and you'd have Judi Dench or John Nettles or Bernard Cribbins or whoever reading a story, or often Kenneth Williams.
But that's an interesting point. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it was normally people of that ilk, Judi Dench and Bernard Cribbins or that. And then when it was someone like Kenneth Williams, or when it was someone like Rick Mayall did it as well, that was always a treat. I always felt that was a treat. That was like, oh, cool, now someone who's actually got a bit of oomph about
it. I hated it when I was a kid and Judi Dench came on. There's going to be no laughs in this. It's all serious. It's all for girls. For some reason, girls' books didn't seem to have laughs. The boys' books were the ones that had the humour in. So you got Kenneth on and saying, oh, yeah. It's going to be all these great camp voices, you know. And just this wonderful performance. A close up of his face for 15 minutes, essentially. What more could you wish for?
So then became Will of the Wisp.
Well, it was then, it was later, that was kind of after my time. I'd already gone to uni by then, didn't watch kids TV.
I still watch it now.
Pass me by.
I love Will of the Wisp. I really love it.
It's kind of really hard work for him. All those voices, he got exhausted.
Yeah.
But anyway, they had this competition every year. You could write a story and send it in. I sent mine in. Heavily under the influence of Spike Milligan and The Goon Show, which I discovered when I was about 11 and became completely obsessed. In fact, all my schoolwork was full of little Milligan-esque jokes. It used to get me in terrible trouble. So I wrote this little Milligan-esque story, sent it in, hoping secretly that Spike Milligan might be asked onto the programme. Or, I would have accepted Peter Sellers or even Harry Seacombe.
It's very, very but gracious of you.
And lo and behold, they get a letter from the producer saying your story will be read by Kenneth Williams. So they had a week of stories, and they had two actors in the studio reading all the other stories, but every day there was a kind of star spot that was the Kenneth Williams story, and the presenter in the studio would pick up a phone and dial, and then you'd cut to a strip of film of Kenneth Williams in the back of a Rolls Royce, and he'd pick up and go, hello, and then he'd get out of the car and read the story on film. So that bit was a film segment. I got the Wednesday.
Okay.
So I want to know, is there anything in the diaries? Did he write anything on the day it was filmed?
Isn't that risky though, man?
He might have said something vile.
How would you feel if he did? Because he could be like, I'd have to read this ghastly story. Do you know what I mean? It could be.
Is there a rubbish? But there is a letter or published letter from maybe a couple of weeks before where he's doing the selection, where he's reading all the stories.
Okay.
He's writing to a friend saying, just reading all these Jack and Ori's entries. He says, there's a depressing sameness to all that princesses being rescued and dragons and all that rubbish. But mine was very weird, little strange story. I think he must have selected mine because he thought, that's a bit different. I could do those voices.
Yeah.
I'm sure he chose the stories he wanted to read. So he chose my story for some reason. I want to know why. and what he thought about it. And I'm on tenterhooks.
And it could be in the diaries.
I want to know. And I'm waiting to find out from the data protection woman who's doing it. Have you found anything?
That's really exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
I mean, that could end up being a show.
Well, you see, the show that I've done since 1996, I'm coming back to May, June, July, doing a little bit of touring and possibly Edinburgh Fringe. And I want to rewrite it, actually, and include that material if it's a new segment of the show where I find out. Ooh, does that mean I've said enough?
It's time for a song. When the alarm goes off, we have to play a song.
I'm going
to
go. I'm overruling that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm enjoying speaking to David.
Okay, but the next one we're
it's
definitely
rare
into.
In this studio. I'm enjoying speaking to someone.
I actually am. As well.
No.
I'm enjoying talking to you. You're liberating me, Ray.
Let
off, yes.
I love that you went into Kenneth Williams and I immediately went into Frankie Howard.
Oh, no. Don't. No, shut your face. Hey? What? No. So, what? Oh dear.
I can't stop you. I wouldn't even want to. I find it interesting. So you've already rewrote that show once.
No, I haven't.
Did you not update that show?
I've done various tweaks on it, but over the years it's very much the same as it always was.
Okay, but you took it back to the Fringe.
Oh, I've done it many times over 20 years.
Okay, that's what it's
firmly in my repertoire. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think it's going to be the show that doesn't go away ever?
Well, I kind of hope it's sort of a mini classic to my amazement and delight, and it's one that influenced quite a lot of other people.
Have other people performed it?
No, never. You couldn't, because it's largely autobiographical. Well, a lot of it's autobiographical.
I don't think
it would work with
someone.
Well,
someone could play you.
They could. Well, they have to wait till I'm in my box, unfortunately. Which could be any day now, you never know.
I think you couldn't.
I'm not feeling too well myself. That's an old joke. But, no, you know, it could be. And that could be my place. It's my place in heaven, that show.
Okay, good.
That's the way I think of it.
It really is. And the new show?
Well, the new one I didn't write. It's about, of all people, Boris Johnson.
But you're in it.
I am right in it. And it's very different. And this is Boris, you know, hi, Boris Johnson. And I have to come on a stupid blonde wig. It's all over the place. And it was one of the most difficult scripts I've ever had to learn in my life. Very, very tricky, and lots happens in the show.
Okay.
I've got a brilliant actress in the show with me, Alice McCarthy, who's you're going to hear a lot from, listeners. She's going to be a huge star. And we bash that show out. And I'm telling you, it's like a trip to the gym. I am my suit is literally wet.
Really? Okay. After the show.
That's how physical it is and how much I sweat. Really hard work. And as you can see, I've got scars.
I didn't know whether or not to mention that or not.
Yeah, I have stitches in my forehead.
Yeah, I've
listeners.
Got a bit like
two
a proper,
stitches, because last week we were doing the show. We were doing a preview, in fact. And there's a lot of blackouts when the lights suddenly go out. And it was all strange stage. And there's lots of props everywhere, including an upended table. And I, in the blackout, bent down to pick up a bottle of water. I went clonk right against the corner of the table, stood up, the lights came up, and I looked at my hand, and there was blood everywhere. And we actually had to do something I've never had to do in my entire career, which is stop the show. Get off and get me to A&E. So I had these...
So what happens in that situation? So when you stop a show, what happens?
Somebody had to go out and say, very sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I actually managed to remain in character and say, oh, dear ladies and gentlemen, I do seem to have sustained a slight injury here. We'll be back very shortly.
That's what I was going to ask you. Did you
start off?
Yeah.
And then we looked at the situation. It was clear. I was very hot and sweating anyway, and my blood was pumping. It wasn't going to stop bleeding.
Right.
And you can't do a comedy show looking like something from Carrie. You know?
I once carried on doing a comedy show whilst bleeding profusely.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Did you get laughs?
Yeah, well, we made a big deal out of what had happened. I cut my hand open quite badly.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was on a pretend ladder. It was the joke was I'd invented things. I'd invented this ladder, which was just sticks on gaffer tape, and I was climbing it, but it was just going to the floor immediately, and then one bit of it just cut, sliced my hand, and really bled. And we were making a joke about, oh, it's bleeding, and then I was going, no, I actually probably do need a bandage at the very least on this, because it's pumping out.
Yeah.
But I did the whole show, though. I didn't go...
You didn't do like me.
I didn't go, oh, I've sustained an injury, I've got to go
A&E. Did you have stitches?
No. It wasn't as bad as that.
But I know, honestly, it went against every instinct in my body to leave the stage.
There's nothing wrong with that. No,
to leave the stage. It was horrible feeling.
Do you have that there, do you think? that thing. The show must go on. It's like, it's just a show, isn't
it?
Okay,
yeah, but you can't do blood running down your face. It would have just been horrible. People would have been fainting. I would have been fainting.
Although some people would have been delighted to see Boris Johnson in such distress.
I think there might be one or two in the audience. Although I see we're getting a lot of Tories in our audience.
Yeah,
it's quite, because it's the Trafalgar Studios, which is the old Whitehall Theatre.
Yeah, it's right, nice. It's lovely, isn't it?
I mean, Downing Street's just around the corner. You never know who's in. And there's
what? That's a good point. I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's a really good point. It is just around the corner.
Yeah.
From Downing Street.
Yes.
So we should be promoting this play rather than the other play that's been promoted.
What's that?
Which is further away.
We're picking up Boris World
King. The Hounslow
King.
One.
What's the Hounslow?
Yeah, the one, the last that didn't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Somebody's doing another show about Boris?
No. The Diary of a Hounslow Girl, it was called.
Oh, was he from Hounslow?
No, I don't know where he's from, actually. He's now MP for Uxbridge.
So, but you are the closest. You're the closest theatre to Downing Street, aren't you?
I think we must be.
Yeah, you are, definitely.
By quite a long definitely, way. Yeah. So whether anyone pop in. But there's, you know, when there's a bit at the beginning where Boris is asking the audience, who's going to be voting for, you know, Zaki? Who's going to be voting for Sadiq, you know? And so all these hands go up to voting for, what's his name, Zach Goldsmith.
Oh, so you are actually able to straw poll and see who's,
in a way,
who's coming in. Yeah,
so who's
it
looking good for then, do you think?
It's hard to say. I couldn't honestly give you I don't know.
Rough straw poll.
It depends on who is going to admit to Boris Johnson.
Yeah. Smacked his head open and was pouring with blood. What do you want him doing? a bar graph backstage.
He's
remembering
just said if he's looking for a straw poll.
How many
hands
went up?
You said Zach Goldsmith, you think?
All that Dan said was there were Tories in the audience.
No,
that's
he didn't
he said
that. He said a lot of hands going up for Zach Goldsmith is what he said.
They don't seem to mind admitting to it.
They could be being ironic.
Why anyone would want to admit to voting for that lot, I can't imagine.
No.
But then again, there's not a lot of choice. Are you waving? What's going on?
I'm just saying, because he voted Tory.
Oh, did he?
Did you vote Tory?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Are you fucking shitting me, Will?
No, I want to see. He did. He told me that.
He's a little Tory boy.
Well, I don't know if he's a Tory boy, but he voted Tory in the last election.
I find it absolutely... Are you proud of yourself?
He's only like 23 as well.
Now?
It's really weird,
thanks
isn't it?
Thanks a bunch, mate. By the way, the NHS treatment I got with my head being stitched together the other night was amazing. It was up to the Tories and that lot. That'd all be closed down. We'd be presented with a £500 bill at the end of it.
Well, to be honest with you, if the NHS as it exists at the moment was actually adhering to what was supposedly what they have to adhere to, your head would still be bleeding now. They're going out of their way to help people still. The people that work at the NHS are actually, they're working harder than they actually need to be working.
Yeah, they
because they give a shit about the job, they give a shit about what they're doing.
Yes.
No, when the times I've been in hospital over the last few years, I've never had anything but great treatment, like really good treatment. And even when it's been borderline, I've understood while I've been there. Yeah. I've seen why people are like, why they're stressed and why they're in an appalling state. But that's a no-brainer to me, regardless of what your politics are at all. It's a no-brainer of me to look after that.
Having said that, under Labour, there was also a lot of cutbacks going on. The Tories just went into a hyperdrive.
Any of them?
Are you like me? You don't trust any of them?
Don't trust any of them. No.
The only one I trust is my MP.
Right.
Who's your MP?
He's a little bit too right wing for me, Jeremy Corbyn.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Jeremy, Corbyn is, of course, we're in the area. This is his territory, and he's my MP, has been for many years since I've lived here. And wonderful. I once sent him an email on a subject, and I got a personal letter,
right, okay,
2 days later, with enclosures. And it was, I just thought, that's what an MP really cares about, his constituents.
Well, I don't really understand what the negativity is around Corbyn.
Emotional. People's voting patterns, I think, have far more to do with emotion about how they feel about how their parents voted, their families voted. It's rather than logic or reason, which is a problem for Jeremy Corbyn, because people have an emotional dislike of him.
Yeah.
Or not everybody, but some people do, like people in my family, or say, I don't like him. You know, and
for what reason?
Yeah, when you actually try and get down to the reason, say, what is it, this policy? Is it that policy? No, because all his policies are eminently sensible.
Yeah.
It's something else. They think he's bad, or he's dangerous, or he's a rebel, or they don't like it. So they won't look at what he's saying.
Well, I'm from working class background in the Northwest.
Whereabouts?
Well, I always say St Helens, but I was born in Warrington.
Mm.
But I affiliate myself with St Helens because I support Saints Rugby.
Mm.
And I went to school in St Helens. So mining town, and I saw the miners strike up close and personal when it was going on, which is always...
You don't look old enough.
I'm 42.
No.
Yeah. Ooh, yes.
Well, get out of here. You are well preserved, I thought you.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't really work very hard. It's
nothing more aging than work, is
it? No, I do work hard. It's that certainly shaped my life. That's shaped me. Seeing those blokes stood outside that pit and seeing all that and the fight and all that sort of thing, and being brought up that way and being brought up in what I consider to be a very decent way, I would hope. But with a bit of fight in me, though. So I've certainly got a bit of scrap in me, you know. It's normally unfairness. Anything unfair,
I'm
there for the fucking fight, definitely.
Yeah. I come from a long line of socialist, atheist, Republicans. Pillar of the community. My granddad, who was from, Cumbria originally.
So was mine.
Yeah, from a little, that's a whole other story. But he was a headmaster.
Where was he from?
Well, a town called Burneside originally. Okay. Do you know as well?
My granddad was White Avon and Cleetham.
Very beautiful part of the world. They all came from there on my dad's side. And my granddad became a teacher and then a headmaster at the Wrensness School in Dudley, which is one of the roughest schools in the country in the 1930s, right till the end of his career. And so he was very well spoken. He was like an old coward, you know, he was very well spoken. But he was a socialist, Labour Party activist, who, you know, had basically shared the views. I've inherited his views, I suppose, his political views. And that's now a dying breed, you know, that kind of left-wing socialist.
Well, can I ask, Ray, you don't trust any of them, but do you vote?
I didn't
vote.
Do you choose not to vote?
Right, okay.
No.
And are you going to plan to vote in the future?
I'm undecided at the moment.
It's difficult. I mean,
I came to that, though. Yeah. So I did campaign. I was a Labour Party member for a long time, did campaign, would have been appalled at me. So when I was in my 20s, would have been appalled at me now, saying it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't vote against them then. Just vote against them.
Yeah.
But I got them in once, and did they ever fuck it up? Like, do you know what I mean?
That would have been Blair, though, wouldn't it, that you voted in?
Yeah, but it's still... No, well, the party is what I voted for. That's what I voted for. I remember that it was 2 days after... 2 or 3 days after the general election in 97. And it was the Rugby League Challenge Cup final at Wembley. And John Prescott was the guest of honour. And I'd been to many Challenge Cup finals before, but it was the first time the guest of honour had come out and the roof went off Wembley. Like, it went off Wembley. The optimism and the sense of, like, and the fact he was a working class bloke and all that sort of thing.
And then the Tories were gone.
And dead and buried from all, you know.
We thought.
But then, a week later, they sold out the Dockers. And it was like that community that had just raised the roof for him were immediately betrayed by them. Yeah. Immediately.
Because the Labour Party and the Labour movement was taken over by something else.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like
an Tory.
Or Tory. Or not even Tory. It goes beyond that. It's like Tory is cross-party.
Yeah.
There's now a divide. You're either a neoconservative or you're one of the old school socialists like Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah.
And they're all political parties are neoconservative now. They all would support the neocon agenda.
So that's why he's struggling so much in terms of popularity. It's because he's actually...
Within it, he's having to fight all these people who are new Labour in his own party who are not even bloody socialists.
Well, but that, totally, and that's what I was getting when they were all going, well, if he wins the leadership, I'm going to resign. It's like, oh, resign now then.
It was like he was getting rid of this virus. You know, they were all leaving of their own accord without having even had to do anything. They just left. It's like, great, thank you very much.
He might be the only good guy there.
Right.
Like, he might be the only good guy in that house.
Isn't that a shocking...
Yeah.
Particularly shocking given the, you know, what appears to be the majority of the press and majority of people, even on Twitter and things like that, seem to think that he's in the wrong.
Yeah.
That's what's shocking to me. That's what
it's groupthink.
Yeah.
They're making judgments emotionally rather than with real reason.
Well, on Twitter is where you get the hive, do they call it? The hive mind, where, because you're all operating within the same place, Twitter, you end up like sort of worker bees. You just all end up having the same thoughts about everything. It's
aping what everybody else is doing because you don't want to be left out.
Right,
you don't want to be the one who stands up and says, wait a minute, you know, people would rather be with the group.
On Twitter that happens a lot. One person or a group of people will say, we think this, and then you're right, nobody wants to be the other one that says, oh, actually no, I don't agree with you,
says,
I'm just going to go along with what that person, and it's generally people in the public eye say something and you think, oh right, everyone's going to get together with what they say.
Well, they also round people up, and that's the dangerous part. They round people up, so you know, there'll be people There'll be people on Twitter who may have however many followers or however many friends in real life or whatever who are all operating on there, and there's a very much a gang mentality on places like Twitter and Facebook, and there's particularly Twitter,
I bet,
where they will round people up to attack one. It's, you know, that happens a lot.
Absolutely lab rat psychology, isn't it?
Yeah,
you can see that happen anywhere. And I think people can be easily provoked into that as well. It's very frightening when we look at the history of the last 20th century, for instance,
and see
how people can be corralled into doing things that they would not do were they in their rational mind.
Let's kill them all.
Mm. Well, that's unfortunately.
Let's not do that. Let's not put that out there.
Unfortunately, that's where it all starts.
Am I being as bad?
No,
it's true. My very, very dear friend of mine said something on Facebook today. They should be taken out and shot. And I thought, well, that's where all of human trouble stems from.
Yeah, impulse.
They deserve to die.
Yeah.
Whereas, because they're wrong and we're right.
Yeah. Mm.
That's your heart of darkness. That's like in Conrad, the pile of child's limbs at the side of the road.
Yeah.
The horror. Because they deserve to die. And we're off the air again.
Not putting that song on.
Okay, well, that's two. That's 22.
I couldn't give a shit.
Well, you just had
There's another.
I'm going to have to go and do my warm. I've had a day off. I forgot my warm.
Well, I need you for two more minutes.
I don't want to go. I did a bit of song then.
But you can't separate.
What was that?
With a song in between
song?
And then
is
cut back
song?
From all chatting.
Is that song? Is there a song playing now?
Yes.
Is there a song playing now?
Okay.
I played the song.
Well, that's not enough.
I'm certainly guilty of that. I'm certainly guilty. Not that I do believe they should be killed, but I'm certainly guilty of using phraseology like that, sort of saying, you know,
it's very human.
Tesco will be first against the world, come the revolution. Oh, yes, you know, that sort of thing.
We all do it, I think. But they're dangerous words, because when push comes to shove and that starts happening, that's the whole history of humanity and the worst of humanity, you know, throughout the millennia. That lot are the enemy. They've done wrong. They should go. And so you get massacres and slaughters and intolerance.
How about, can we just kill one of them as a warning?
That's how it starts.
Isn't it?
You have to go to the Corbyn way and say, let's actually not kill anybody. Let's talk about it. Let's be reasonable and look at it as reasonable human beings who have potential to be good and all the rest of it, rather than...
Now, does that... Playing Boris Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given that this isn't a clumsy reintroduction. I actually genuinely mean this as a real question.
Yeah.
Given the background you told us about, and what your family background is as well, and that sort of thing, is it a difficult job or an easy job? I don't mean physically. I mean actually in terms of your
thinking,
how you think about it. Because you're portraying. I don't think you can portray anyone really without finding something human in them. Without
or finding something of yourself in them. Orson Welles, I think it was said. You know, the job of the actor is to leave behind in the dressing room every part of himself except that part which corresponds to the character. In other words, find it in yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't really know, because Boris is so far away from me. But in this show, he's shown us having, the same need to, the same ambitions, the same hopes and fears as the rest of us, really, except in a different way. He's a different hopes and dreams. But it's a fascinating character to play. It allows me to come out and be this great big Tory, sexist, horrible. I mean, I had to talk to women and actually go down and sit and flirt with women in the audience.
Okay.
And as a gay man, it's weird to actually see women recoil.
That's the bit you struggle with. Not playing what? The Tory. I'm not speaking to a woman.
No, not that at all. No, but we're speaking to women in that way.
Yeah.
So that they recoil and you invade completely their personal space.
Yeah.
In fact, on the last point, on Saturday, there was a guy with his arm right around his girlfriend like that, and I went and sat in between them and made him, just forced him out of the way, like someone that, like Boris or someone like that would do. And just this poor girl was like a little rabbit trapped by a snake, you know. And the guy, of course it was a show, he just kind of laid off, but he was like, hello, my dear, how are you? Sorry, mate. But anyway, and you know, that alpha male thing of just zeroing in on a bit of prey.
Yeah.
And going for it without any concern really about how it's affecting them or what they think of it. Or even not even to realise that they are recoiling in horror.
But you still maintain you cut your head on a table.
Rather than a stiletto.
Yeah. I find it intriguing, I really do. I find Boris Johnson an intriguing...
He's a mystery.
Yeah.
He's still a mystery. I mean, what is his game?
Because he's not a buffoon.
No.
He's far from that.
No.
But that's his selling point, that he is a buffoon.
And I saw in the papers something, a very good line. It says, Boris Johnson, spontaneity is often carefully rehearsed.
Yeah.
And that's something to bear in mind during the show, is that he appears to be this bumbling, great fool, all that, you know, ruffling the hair. But it's a very considered and careful act.
So you get, but you get to see that. So portraying him, you get to see that. You get to see the power of that, and the power of disarming people.
Yeah,
like in that example you just gave then about going down between the lad and the lass. Is that if you did that in a pub?
Yes.
You know, because you've got this persona that you're portraying. They're sort of like, oh, he's like this. Oh, he's
like his mask. Yeah.
Yeah. He's an idiot, this bloke. You know, that's how you get away with that sort of thing.
That's right. And I'm putting on the same mask as him for an hour.
Yeah.
And just trying on the Boris mask and seeing how it feels.
Does it feel powerful?
Does it? Not really. No. No, I wouldn't want to swap places with him at all. I could do with his money.
No, not that.
I don't mean that you would desire
to be him. I mean the idea of, I can, you know, that. You metaphorically put on a mask, but you put the costume on and stuff.
Yes.
But when I've done acting stuff, you do sometimes feel, if you're playing a powerful character,
yes,
that you do actually feel that. It's like picking up a gun. It's like if you pick up a gun. Now, regardless of what you think of guns or what your opinion is on gun control, anything like that, you pick up a gun, you feel something. You do. Yeah, you definitely feel something.
My God, you suddenly realise how much people feared not you, but your power with the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's same with Boris, I suppose. I don't know, but I would not want to swap places with him or any of those people. As hard as my life is, struggling along as an actor, and it is bloody hard, you know, I'm actually skint and all the rest of it. Sick of it.
We can do a collection if you want.
Please. Anyone, I think I should do one of those. What do they call it? With
appeal.
Appeal. Yeah.
Crowdfund your life. Yeah. Then kickstart.
That'll be my next show.
I'm going to re-kickstart my life.
Well, we're all struggling at the moment.
We are, everyone. Of course, man. And whose fault's that? Which brings us to Boris, World King. So you are swapping places with Boris, really. Technically, you're Trafalgar Studio to London, 19th of April to the 14th of May.
Three more weeks.
And then matinees as well.
Matinees Thursday, Saturday. It's agony. It's agony, dear, but it has to be done.
But you're going
to
soldier on with it.
Yes, you bet.
You should start a diary.
I'm writing one, my dear. This will be in it.
Oh,
tomorrow.
will it only come out posthumously, though?
Absolutely. No, it's not going to be Rebel Alarm.
I don't want to be badgering the British Library. Have you found what he said about me yet or not? Dave Benson, nice. Thanks ever so much, man. Yeah.
Great pleasure.
Honestly, without a doubt, best guest we've ever had.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
I don't care what anyone says. That's what we need, Nat.
A good booking. Thank you, Natalie.
I'm giving you the credit.
Thank you.
But he did do it. Thanks, Dave.
Why sow the wheat in the row? How can it help it to grow? Makes it for sweeter dough. You have to ask, you'll never know. Which is the stag, which the doe? Who is my friend, who my foe? Viola or cello, you have to ask, you'll never know. Why does the rooster sing so? How can he guess when the crow aims you from my window? You have to ask, you'll never know. Why do they call Coffee Joe when high rain? Mandolin or banjo, you have to ask, you'll never know. Cause I'm reaping all those weeds I used to sow. I'm paying all those debts I used to owe. And if you have to ask, then you will never know.
presents Sarah Love
and Mice Diggy. Yeah, what's going on, mother lovers? I go by the name of Mice Diggy.
And my name is Sarah Love.
And you can catch us each and every Monday from 4 till 6 p.m. right here on Foobar Radio. Previously, we've had guests such as
Chuck D of the legendary Public Enemy, Five Dog of A Tribe Called Quest, All That Illness. Plus, every week we bring you a live open mic with fresh, talented artists. So make sure you check out
these downloads
at foobarradio.com.
The show where ignorance and intelligence don't just walk that thin line between them, they also do the running man on that bitch.
Every Monday, Sarah Love and my Sticky from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
I'm gonna pretend to be in other people's shows more often.
The first moment that I met her, I did not expect her. When I shook her hand, I really shook the glove. She looked into me so sweetly, and we left the room discreetly. No one else could know the secret of our love. Little ghost, what I'm scared of the most. Can you scare me up a little bit of love? I'm the only one that sees you, and I can't do much to please you. And it's not your time to meet the Lord above. Every morning I woke, I see my little ghost. Wondering if it's big or it's lying there. I lean to touch her and I whisper, but not brave enough to kiss her. When I held her, I was really holding there. Little ghost, what I'm scared of the most. Can you scare me up a little bit of love? I'm the only one that sees you, and I can't do much to please you. And it's not your time to meet the Lord above. Though I tried my best to keep it, there really was no secret. Must have looked like I was dancing with the wall. No one else could see this apparition. But because of my condition,
White Stripes, Little Ghost. Before that was
It was Jamie Lenman, Ask You'll Never Know, for Michael Bell.
Okay.
White Stripes was for Dave Wares.
I didn't hear any of the other one because I was speaking to Dave outside, Dave Benson, who was genuinely lent that best guest we've ever had.
Yeah, it's great.
And and they've been great ones, but I thought he was particularly good.
Really good.
And White Stripes was for
that was for Dave Wares.
Okay. Little I can't Ghost. Give a number for the other one because I didn't hear it.
It was quite good.
What are you giving it?
5.
Okay, and the White Stripes?
2. Because I do like the White Stripes, but not
it,
that one.
I'm going to give it 10.
Are you? That really surprises me. Why are you doing that?
I don't want to.
Can I just say a couple of things quickly?
Magdalene misses it's her favourite band. And she'd go and say...
Oh, okay. I mean, I love them, but that's not one of my favourite... That wasn't a great one.
But I'm giving it 10 because...
Sure. Politically, you have to.
Otherwise, I'll get shit, won't I?
What's happening when Dave was in here was messages from Will.
Tory Will.
You're dead.
Will the Tory.
I went on that bloody doctor's march. You little shit.
When did you go? What? So you went on a march against yourself.
So
you marched against what you voted for. That's a weird way.
Right, yeah.
Well, look, we haven't got time to do it.
No,
but
later.
We're going to do it in the next show. So we've got the benefit that we're going to record the next show
in tonight, an hour
or so.
Yeah.
So next week, beginning of next week, Will be
probed.
Held accountable for his voting and his actions.
Yeah.
And he'll be grilled in the studio about why at 23 years of age you could possibly vote Conservative.
And even think it's okay to even do it.
It's fine. It's clearly misguided.
Yeah, well,
and by the way, I'm not even... you can vote what you want. Yeah. That's what a democracy is. It's fine.
Yeah,
you can. It just baffles me. That baffles me how a kid... can vote Conservative. Well, that baffles me.
We'll set aside time for this later. Quickly, Turbo Keith has tweeted in for today's show
well
that's going
like that
out on air
thought,
now.
Oh, it's still on. Hang on.
Yep.
Yeah. This
is Colin Furze, the inventor.
Yeah. Oh, it's that bloke.
But Turbo Keith has said, what is the hottest thing you've popped in your spud grinder?
I don't even know what that means.
Mouth, I'm assuming.
What's the hottest thing I put? Oh, right. What, me?
Well, just generally, just the room, I think.
No, like Tabasco sauce. Chili. I'm not a big eater of spicy
stuff. Scotch bonnet, that's hot.
What's a Scotch bonnet?
It's the hottest chili you can get. Mm. I thought it was a meatball and I ate it. And Philbo Broadbag says, you were right, both hot and saucy even before the guests. I did a joke, I'll get my coat.
Thanks for joining us. It was a shit show, but it redeemed itself.
Oh, that was good.
It redeemed itself.
Yeah.
So, just skip forward to Dave Benson.
Don't do that.
I've got to play a song. Hang on.
Right on time. That doesn't count.
I've played it. Bye.